Can you talk a little bit about the side effects and toxicity profile of aromatase inhibitors versus tamoxifen?
Well, the aromatase inhibitors, a notorious side effect, are the arthralgias, which occur in about a third of women. In the randomized trials that compared aromatase inhibitors versus tamoxifen, there was about a 5% higher prevalence of arthralgias in postmenopausal women. There was about a 1% discontinuation rate due to that toxicity. And that can be a major problem and can be very difficult to deal with. Oftentimes, the symptoms may not be severe, but they're low grade and they're noticeable. The second, of course, is hot flashes, which can occur with either aromatase inhibitors or tamoxifen. So those, far and away, are the most common side effects. Occasionally, you may find a patient who develops diarrhea as a complication of AIs. You can occasionally see dyspnea, particularly in patients who have COPD or a chronic lung disease. But I would say that those are the most common. With regard to tamoxifen, the most common would be also hot flushes. Leg cramps are quite common and can be problematic. That doesn't seem to be a problem for the AIs. And then finally, there are genitourinary symptoms, which can occur with both classes of agents.
What about more serious complications with the two treatment strategies?
Certainly for the tamoxifen, the most serious complications would be thromboembolic disease, and there's about anywhere from a 2- to 3-fold increased risk of thromboembolic disease. It's important, I think, to question patients about either a personal or family history of thrombosis, and because it's known that those individuals who do have that do have an increased risk of developing tamoxifen-associated thrombosis. Of course, there's also about a 2- to 3-fold increased risk of uterine carcinoma for postmenopausal women, and so women need to be advised that if they develop abnormal vaginal discharge or at least vaginal bleeding, that they should report that immediately. One of the problems has been the overutilization of transvaginal ultrasound in that population. What it results in is about the fact that you detect an abnormal endometrial stripe or thickening or cystic changes in about 30% of patients. It often leads to unnecessary biopsies, and it generally doesn't result in detecting uterine cancers earlier. Although I think that was fairly commonly done, I would say 5 or 10 years ago, it is less commonly done now.
What about bone and aromatase inhibitors?
Well, I think certainly as medical oncologists, we're paying a lot more attention to bone health issues than we did in the past. Generally, I think that, you know, it's important to follow the standard recommendations for screening for osteoporosis or osteopenia. So any woman over the age of 65 or women between the ages of 50 and 65 who have established risk factors. And I would say that the use of an aromatase inhibitor would now be an established risk factor. So certainly getting a baseline DEXA scan would seem to be a reasonable thing to do. I think it's more controversial in terms of how often one needs to monitor that individual. I was reassured to see data from the ATAC substudy indicating that after 5 years of AI therapy, only about 15% of patients had osteopenia or osteoporosis, 15 to 20%, if you started out with normal bone density. So we may be doing more DEXA scans than we need to in this population. I don't know what the right frequency is, but I would be reassured for someone who's starting out with a normal bone density that perhaps I may not need to check it as frequently. One of the things that I think is important to emphasize is that for all women to take calcium and vitamin D, and although I routinely recommend that orally in my routine practice, I'm now making sure that patients get written information, written documentation that this is what they need to do, and I question them at each visit. And it surprises me how often women don't take the calcium and vitamin D, even though they're advised to do so.
What about exercise, weight-bearing exercise, and exposure to sunlight? Any role in that?
Yes, I mean, those are all factors that are known to reduce the risk of osteoporosis in postmenopausal women, and I would suspect that women getting AIs would be no different. And again, because there are a lot of issues to discuss, I intend now to provide written information to patients specifically related to bone health.